much, Gary. Good evening to you all. Good evening to all those who are on live stream, anybody who's listening later on. You can see my title of my sermon today is Cast Down. And, you know, when I look around our world today, you know, I see a lot of people that are cast down. I see a lot of people that have, you know, depression. It's a you know, a problem that we have, you know, in our nation, in our world. There's a lot of people out there that are downtrodden. They're mourning.
Yeah.
They're, you know, they're, for lack of a better term, cast down, and they're depressed. You know, there's a lot out there that, you know, can kind of make us all depressed. You know, currently, you know, our economic situation is less than ideal. There's, you know, rampant inflation taking place. You know, it's not making any more money, and our dollar goes less. You know, it's stressful. It gets people sad. You know, how do I make more money? How do I take care of my needs? How do I take care of the things I have? You know, it's something that's a source of stress, and it's a source of depression. If you can't make it happen, you know, you gotta, your bills don't get paid, and that can be pretty upsetting for a lot of people. You know, a common one, gas prices, you know, shooting up, making everything more expensive, you know, making it more expensive just to go to work, making it more expensive to go to the store. Everything's costing more. You know, there's always things that, you know, get us all depressed. You know, there's all sorts of other things out there that get us, you know, depressed. So we have a relationship with someone, you know, a lot of times when you're younger, you know, and the relationship doesn't work out, that's a depressing thing. Somebody doesn't want to be with you anymore. It's, you know, that kind of hurts. It can be very depressing. You know, there's just so many things that you can add to this list, you know, and I have this one picture on here. This is a very depressing photo. Robb Elementary School, it's a place called Uvalde, Texas. You know, horrible, horrible tragedy took place there. You know, and these are all the flowers and the memorials left for all those innocent children that died. You know, you hear something about that, it's depressing. You know, it takes the wind out of your sails. You know, you don't feel good when you hear something like this. You know, and that's going to cause so much anguish and despair. And, you know, people are going to be and are depressed over things like this. And there's so much in this world that is just taking us down. You know, all these things that just bombard us. You know, and depression is a real thing. And it happens. It happens to a whole lot of people. You look in Psalms, the 42nd. And this is David. And he's singing this song. In the 9th verse, he makes these statements. I will say to God, my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of my enemy? As with a sword in my bones, my enemies reproach me while they say daily unto me, where is thy God? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? You know, I think he was depressed when he wrote this. He probably wasn't feeling the best. I'm not sure when it was that he wrote this, but I mean, he was chased by his king. His king tried to murder him. He had to live in hiding, live in caves, live in foreign lands. You know, he had a lot of things happen to him that, you know, quite depressing. And he writes this out, you know, so we know that David, you know, he was a king of Israel, and yet he felt depression. He felt like he was cast down at times. You go into 2 Nephi, 9th chapter. To the law and to the testimony, and if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them, and they shall pass through it hardly bestead and hungry. And it shall come to pass that when they shall be hungry, they shall fret themselves and curse their king and their God and look upward. And they shall look upon unto the earth and behold trouble and darkness, dimness of anguish, and shall be driven to darkness. You know, that's really kind of what depression is. If you talk to people who get depressed or cast down, you know, they feel like they're in darkness. You know, they're looking in the world all around them. They're just all those things we talked about in that first slide. You know, there's all these things that, you know, there's just no light. I can't see light in this world. You know, and they get angry with God, get angry with what's around them. You know, there's this hopelessness lies within. And when it happens, and it's happening, I'm sure many of us, you know, have felt at times in a dark, dark place. You know, there are lots of depression stories in the Bible. In the Book of Mormon, you know, they don't really use the word depression, but they do use words like these, you know, downcast, brokenhearted, troubled, miserable, despairing, mourning. All those are words that you could describe, you know, depression, different aspects of it. Now, people just aren't feeling well. And you find these things over and over again. There's lots, both the Bible and the Book of Mormon, where you find these words. People are troubled. They're in misery. They're mourning. Now, it takes many different names, but it's there. It's all throughout Scripture. Let's go over some of these depressed people. We go back to King David, right? 2 Samuel, 9th chapter, 15th verse. Nathan departed unto his house, and Nathan had just come and told him, you know, about his son that he'd born from Uriah, and he knew everything about him. And he told him that, you know, you've done this all in secret, now everything's going to be brought out into the open. And the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife bare unto David, and it was very sick. David therefore besought God for the child, and David fasted and went in and lay all night upon the earth. And the elders of his house arose and went to him and to raise him up from the earth, but he would not, neither would he eat bread with them. You know, he was depressed. Here he was faced with his sin. Here he was seeing, you know, this play out, and everyone was going to know what happened. Everyone was going to see what he had done. His integrity was now in question. And everyone was going to know it. And all these things were going to play out in front of everyone. And this innocent being had been brought in, took sick, and passed away. And he was in this depression for days. For 7 days, it says. He wouldn't eat. He was beseeching the Lord to have mercy. You know, it didn't end up working out the way he wanted to. The child passed on. He felt depression. He was a king, had everything he wanted, everything that he could have, that his time could offer. Yeah, here we see. He was struck. He was depressed. He was cast down. You can move on into 1 Kings. This is talking about Elijah. You know, Elijah at this point he had just gone in. He confronted all the prophets of Baal. He'd slain them all, you know, and he'd done this good thing. You know, he'd gotten rid of this institution that was plaguing Israel. And they sought his life. They wanted to kill him. So 1 Kings, the 19th chapter, 3rd verse, and when he saw that, he arose and went for his life. He was fleeing. Came to Beersheba, which belonged to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a juniper tree, requested for himself that he might die, and said, "It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my father's." You know, he wanted God, just take me now. This life isn't worth living. I've fought the fight you've asked me to. I've done everything you've told me to do. And they still want to destroy me. No one likes me. There's no one left. I'm all alone. Take me, Lord. Just take me away. You know, he was depressed. Left everyone behind. He couldn't be with people. And he was depressed. He was sad. He was cast down. He was in a low spot in his life. You know, this man who had done such a great, great miracle just days before. Now he's wanting his life to be over. Job. You know, this is just a small snippet, but you look at the entire 30th and 31st chapter in Job, and it is just his discourse on everything that has gone wrong with him. But in chapter 30, 15, terrors are turned upon me. They pursue my soul as the wind. And my welfare passeth away as a cloud. And now my soul is poured out upon me. The days of affliction have taken a hold upon me. My bones are pierced in me in the night season, and my sinews take no rest. And he goes on and on about all the things that are happening to him. He can't sleep at night. His health is gone. And he's lost his family, his children, his lands, his possessions are gone. Everything. I would say he was probably feeling some depression. He wasn't feeling real good about life. He wasn't in the best frame of mind, I would say. Jeremiah was a prophet of the Lord. This is what he had to say in a low spot. 20th chapter and the 14th verse. Cursed be the day wherein I was born. Let not the day wherein my mother bare me be blessed, because he slew me not from the womb. I'm skipping a couple verses there. I'm going to the 17th verse. Because he slew me not from the womb, but that my mother might have been my grave, and her womb to be always great with me. Wherefore came I forth out of the womb to see labor and sorrow, that my days should be consumed with shame. He wasn't happy when he wrote this. These aren't words that we look to for joy and happiness. You know, he was sad. He would prophesy to Israel and reject his messages. And right before this, there was a king that put him in the stocks. You know, that's what he was feeling. He was doing what God had asked him to do. And yet he was punished. He wasn't feeling the greatest of emotions. Moving on. Luke in the 22nd chapter, 42nd verse. This is Christ saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto heaven, unto him from heaven, strengthening him, and being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And he wasn't Christ himself. Not feeling good about what was coming. Knowing the pain and the suffering he was going to have to endure. Knowing the sin that he was going to have to take on. I dare say he was probably a little depressed in this moment. And extended into the physical. You know, he's sweating out his own blood. You know, and you find these things over and over and over again in Scripture where people have been cast down. And it doesn't matter who you are, right? Who gets depressed, you know? Everyone. Whether you're a king, a prophet, a priest, a son of God, everyone feels like they're in a dark place. It's a state of mind. It's common to all of us to get there. It doesn't matter who you are, where you are, what you are, when you are. People feel these things. And they get cast down. So you'd ask, you know, what is the purpose of this? Why would a good God allow these things to happen? Why would I be allowed to suffer so much? I mean, look at some of these things, these people suffered greatly, physically, spiritually, and they were challenged. What is the purpose of this? No? It could be. But this is a test of your faith. Faith has the power to save you. But what kind of faith do you need to save you? What is saving faith? Is it everything's going great? Lord, I have faith in you. And then you suffer loss of a loved one. God, why would you do this? I don't believe anymore. Is that a saving faith? Or is that a superficial faith? Because God never promised us that this life was going to be easy. He never promised us that we're going to have everything we ever wanted. Now, those of us that are parents, it's Father's Day. You know, what father, if he gives his child everything he wants, what do we call that child? Spoiled. Don't we? Is it any different for us? If we don't have to work through some adversarial things in our life, do we ever gain strength? Do we ever have our faith tested so that it can last, so that it can bring us to salvation? No, there's going to be tests. Your faith is going to be tested. Why? Because you know what? It can bring you salvation if you hold to your faith. If you develop a strong faith, it'll bring you salvation. It's not a fair weather friend kind of faith. I'll be with you when everything's going great. Oh, everything's going bad, I'm out. That's not the kind of follower that God is looking for. He wants those whose faith is strong. You know what could be? So we understand one another. It could be you going through some trial in your life. Was that so you, later on, can go help someone else? Because you understand what they've been through. You pulled through it yourself. You can help those other people. You can have an understanding. You can have an empathy for what they've been, what they're going through. Say, I made it through. You can too. Because I know where you're at. I know where you're going. I understand. Could be so that we appreciate what's good. Now, how do we know what's good if we haven't felt the opposite? How do we know what's wholesome and joyful and blessed if we haven't experienced what's on the other side? If all we've ever known is good, do we really know what's good? It can only be good if there's something on the opposite side. There's some evil, some bad that takes place. And it makes the good so much better. Just having a contrast, an understanding. And it could be so we look forward to the next life, because this is temporary. We're not meant to last in this body. Not meant to last in this time. We're meant to look to something else. We're meant to look beyond what's in front of us, beyond our life. Because beyond is something better. The next life. You know, there's two places. Eternity with God or eternity without Him. And eternity with God is so much better than this life. So that's where we need to have our eye. That's where our focus needs to be. Psalms in the 34th chapter, 15th verse. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. He is there, and He is listening. He hears your cry. He knows your distress. And if you're living a righteous life, His ear is open to you. It doesn't say here He's going to take it away. He's listening. He will deliver you. He'll help you get through. But He's not going to take it away. He'll save you. But He's not going to take away your trial. It'll give you the strength to get through. Alma, in the 14th chapter, in verse 111, this is about the sons of Mosiah. They've gone in to the lands of Lamanites, and they've been trying to preach to them, and they were kicked out rather harshly. In 111th verse, now when our hearts were depressed, and we were about to turn back, behold, the Lord comforted us and said, go amongst thy brethren Lamanites, and bear with patience thine afflictions, and I will give unto thee success. You know, nothing worth having comes easy. Nothing worth having doesn't come without sacrifice. Nothing worth having is just going to be given to you. You've got to earn it. You've got to seek it. You've got to find it. You've got to study it. You've got to pursue it. And that's not an easy path. And that's what God told him. He's like, look, I know it's hard. I know you're downtrodden right now. I know you're depressed right now. I know you've been mistreated. But I want you to go back. And I promise you success. And so what do? They go back. You know, and they suffered. I read on further down. They were spit upon. They were struck. They were imprisoned. They were kicked out of towns. But they kept going back. And what was their reward? In the 123rd verse, now have we not reason to rejoice? Yea, I say unto you, there were never were men that had so great reason to rejoice as we since the world began. Because they listened to the God. They went back and bore those afflictions. And he rewarded them. He gave them success. Gave them joy. Their efforts were made known unto them. They saw the fruits of their labors. They saw souls brought to God. And it was important to these men because these same men had gone around and they tried to destroy the church. They tried to tear it down. They saw the folly of that. They turned and they knew, I've got purpose now. I've got to go change what I'm doing. Romans in the 8th chapter. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings, which cannot be uttered. You know, they had this hope within them. The sons of Mosiah, they had this hope in God. They had the hope that he would help them out, that he would see through. And because of that, you know, the Holy Ghost went before, right before the throne of God and made intercession. And they were able to bear all these afflictions. They were able to put off their depression. They were able to stand up, even though they were cast down. And move forward because they had an advocate on their side. You know, these men, you know, like they were, what, in my opinion, having read some of these scriptures, I think, you know, they were probably caught up in some depression. These sons of Mosiah were going around, they were absolutely destroying the church. And their father, even though he was a high priest, was unable to influence them. I'm sure he prayed for them, but they were lost. You know, there's this great description of their depression that they were in. I'm going to go into Mosiah in the 11th chapter. And if you look in the 11th chapter, you know, they're on their way to go work against the Lord. They're on their way to go destroy his work. And they were stopped. They were stopped in the middle of the road by this angel. And he began speaking to them, and Alma was so struck by this experience that he fell over. He wasn't able to talk. He was unable to move. So they brought him back to his father, and his father takes him, and he calls in for all the elders, and the priests at the time. It's all right, we need to fast for my son. And so for 2 days, I believe it was, they fasted and they prayed. I'm going to start reading in Mosiah in the 11th chapter, verse 185. And it came to pass, after they had fasted and prayed for the space of 2 days, 2 nights, the limbs of Alma received their strength. And he stood up and began to speak unto them, bidding them to be of good comfort. For he said, I have repented of my sins and I have been redeemed of the Lord. Behold, I am born of the Spirit. And he had been struggling with, you know, some things within the church. And he didn't believe their doctrines. And he thought they were foolish. And he's told by God, you know, marvel not at this doctrine. Everyone has to be born of God. Everyone has to be saved. Everyone has to be born again. And he goes into this description, skipping down to verse 190. Nevertheless, after waiting through much tribulation, repenting nigh unto death, the Lord in his mercy has seen fit to snatch me out of an everlasting burning, and I am born of God. My soul hath been redeemed from the gall of bitterness and the bonds of iniquity. I was in the darkest abyss, but now I behold the marvelous light of God. My soul was racked with eternal torment, but I am snatched, and my soul is pained no more. You know, he had come face to face with what it was that was holding him back. He was in this depression. He was cast down. He was so miserable. He was working on making everyone else as miserable as he could. He was an agent of Satan, going around destroying everyone that he could. In this depression, you know, in this very poignant description. And God confronts him. And he pulls him. Lets him know of his folly. Stops him. And I hope that none of you have felt this deep depression that he's felt. But we have it here. Why? Because, you know, it's a miracle. It doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter what deep abyss you find yourself in your mind. God can pull you out. If you but reach out to him, asking his forgiveness, being humble before him, there is no place he can't pull you out of. There's no burning he can't save you from. There's no place in your mind that he can't go and relieve you. It can't. There is no such place. So he can defeat depression. He can defeat being cast down. How? Because he gives us hope. There's something better. There's something worth living for. There's something worth fighting through. He gives us mercy. He's willing to forgive if we're willing to ask. He gives compassion. Heals the sick, the wounded, the brokenhearted. Because he loves each and every soul in this world. He gives us purpose. Something to drive on to, something to aim for, to keep us going. He gives us victory. Because he's overcome all things. There is no sin he has not seen. There's no sin he's not willing to take. No sin he's not willing to forgive. And so what does that mean for us? Well, if we've been given hope, then we need to give hope to those around us. There are so many people that have just no hope. If you've given it to you, you have a duty to give it to others. If we've been given mercy, then we need to show mercy to others. Because he's been so merciful to us, and we are far more deserving of judgment, yet he hasn't given it. As long as we draw breath, we can partake of this mercy, and so we must be merciful to others. We must give compassion. You know, people that are in depression, that are They need that. They need this understanding. If I can go to God and dump all of my emotions and worries on Him, I should be the same for someone else. Willing to take on their emotions and their worries and show them compassion. He gives us purpose, and we need to give purpose to those that don't have it. Give them the reason why we need to keep moving forward. We need to keep at it to spread this gospel, to spread that hope and mercy, compassion. And we need to recognize when others have victory. You know, when they make steps toward the light, recognize and honor that which they've done. And celebrate their victories with them. Be joyous when they've conquered some sin. And they've made a change. Recognize their victory. We've been given so much. And how do we help others who are lost in that abyss? We give back what we've been given. Give it out. Not because they've earned it, because we didn't earn it, because they need it. Because that's our purpose as other people. It's our purpose. Showing the light of God. Showing that love, that compassion, understanding, and mercy. That is how we'll defeat Satan and defeat evil. It's not with more evil, not with condescending, not with telling people they shouldn't feel that way. You're wrong for feeling that way. Because no matter who you are, you can feel that way. It's something that's within us all. We all have the capacity to lose hope from time to time. But God gave us hope, and so we must give hope to others. I thank you for your time.